Well, I'm just outside Enniskillen in a place called Gort Messen,
Messen,
and
yeah.
I'm talking to George McVitie. George, could you maybe start by telling me a little bit about your background and where you came from originally?
Well, it was right down at Garrison.
And what was the name of the place that you were?
The townland, it was Knocknashannon. And I was raised there in 1972. Then I drove a school bus. And I started very early in the morning. It was about 20 past seven. And I lifted, I had about five or six children on, and they blew up a road in front of me going into Billick. And I had to come back the bus then to a crossroads and take a day or two or a way around by Farn Cassidy and into Billick, then lifted another load of children and drove on into Enniskillen and done my day's work then. Then the next day, there was a man for me coming out of Billick, a man with a tricolour flag. He went to stop me. And then I had to leave the bus then altogether. Then I had to get another job then. I got another job then with the council, district council, driving a lorry.
Why do you think that they were trying to target you particularly? Because you were you in the UDR
I
part time
was
as well?
in the UDR, surely, I part time, I. Well, then the army and the police said that they couldn't give me any more security, you know, and then they shot Johnny Fletcher too during that time too. They shot him the first of March or the 2nd of March at that time too. So I thought it would be better get. Then we left our farm then and went to a derelict house, and there was a man there putting on. The rats was it coming up through the floor, and he was cutting wee pay tins for nailing them on to keep to fill the rat holes. We stayed there then for 2 years. Then I had a job then with the council driving a lorry at that time.
Right, so you,
Could you switch
yeah, okay, yeah.
it up then for a minute?
But take me back to the beginning again, the farm that you were farming in.
Oh, I
Was
had,
your father, what was your father's name?
he was William McVitie.
And so did he leave the farm to you then?
He did. I had two farms down there.
Oh, did you?
I had 100 acres down there.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And how many of your siblings ran the, or was it just yourself that ran the two farms?
Well, myself.
If I'll use
Well, my father helped me too. We kind of worked all together.
I see, and there was a fair bit of work to go
There
on.
was, there was.
Yeah. And so, but do you think at the time that there was a tendency to want to push the Protestant farmer out of the place?
There was, surely.
So, do you recall any intimidation directly to the house? Like, was there ever an attack on the farmhouse?
No, but there was a couple of men up one day up around the school bus one day. I don't know, they didn't come into the house and I didn't know their business or they just left then.
Yeah, but so you felt uncomfortable living
Oh,
there.
why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And they shot one man, so he was beside me, my neighbour.
Oh, Jerry Fletcher.
Johnny Fletcher, eh?
He shot. He was your next door neighbour
He
there.
was.
So, after that happened, then of course you got. Were you married at that stage, George?
We had four children, and you were expecting that time too. We lost a child too that time too.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
Eh?
yeah, and so that was an extra
That was more.
intimidation.
It was.
But
They blew up, sorry again, they blew up a hut down the road
man's hut down below our house. One night too, and I was out on patrol.
I was on my own. I swear, I froze with fear.
Did you?
I did.
And is that because of the explosion?
Yeah, it's like explosion. The old dogs in the court, they all started to bark. And we had no electricity, we needed a wee lamp, you know, and the lamp went out. And I swear, I froze with fear. And he came in at 5:30 in the morning, off patrol. And
we were blown up that night too.
How do you mean you were blown up that night?
We were landmine, we were at Cassidy's Cross.
Oh, I'll never forget it. I was expecting, I don't want the child dead. Couldn't have lived.
Because of your...
Frightened,
yes.
I was scared of him.
But George, to go back, it's an extraordinary. Your story is amazing. I mean, you were probably very friendly with the Longs and McClures.
Why? So my wife was she's one of the McClures.
Oh, indeed, yes. are you John McClure's sister? Oh my goodness, yeah. So I didn't know that. No, so. Did you all come together to make a decision to leave the place then? Was that it?
Well, the army and the police said they couldn't give us any security of what had happened. I wanted to shot Johnny Fletcher, sure. It wasn't good looking, sure it wasn't.
So what kind of plans were put in place, George? What kind of plans were put in place? Did you just uproot everything and just go overnight?
A couple of other UDR men from other parts of the country moved us out of the house and brought us up to that derelict house. That's where they're putting the tins on it to keep the rats from coming out of it.
Where was that?
Churchill, at the point.
Oh, yes. And that's where the McClures were as well, was it?
Aye, well, they moved... Not so far from it, not so far. I had Churchill, they moved to.
Yeah, but you got support from the UDR.
They come in a lot of Land Rovers and brought a lot of... Only we didn't bring too much, we left all behind us, only a lot of beds.
So was it done very quickly? And
it was done one day, just one day.
Yeah. What did you do about your two farms then?
Well, I left... Derelict, my father was sold all the cattle then. Had no cattle then. Kept them for a couple of years and I didn't see any future going back and sold them.
And did that would break your heart as well?
It was then. We stayed then in that house then for a couple of years and then she had no car, I had to drive down to the and a skidding to get me to my work. And then we moved, we bought a wee farm here, 30 to 17 acres and a derelict house on it, and we done it up and lived there.
And go back to the years that you were driving the bus, the school bus.
Yeah.
So this was something that you picked up the children from where now again?
Well, picked up some down my own road, about 2 mile down from, or 3 mile down from our own house, and then went on down into another, got on another ford by Farn Cassidy Cross, then on into Billick and lifted a load there, and on into Enniskillen.
Were they a mixture of Protestants and Catholics?
No, all breeds. and then I went into Derrigonley and I went up a couple of roads up, mountain roads up there, and brought it down a lot of roads and stayed at the school then, Derrigonley, till it was time to go home in the evening. Then done it backwards, then went up the mountain in the evening and back into Enniskillen and lifted a load and home down the shore road into Billick and home again.
So you got to know the children and the families?
Yeah.
And how long were you doing that work, George?
Well, I was driving another wee bus driving through my own wee countries, you know, before I got onto that big run.
Yeah.
I was 6 years I had an hour before I left. Yeah. Before I quit.
And then you decided to join the UDR in the middle of all of this, was it? Or
oh, no.
Did you join the UDR?
Was it 72, was it, maybe? Or before, was it? Whatever the UDR started.
And why did you decide to join? Did you have any reason to sign?
Well, the Paida people all down there joined.
So if your family and friends were joining,
I joined, aye.
And it was extra money, wasn't it?
It was extra, like a pound, surely. Why wouldn't it? Money was money that day.
And you reversed the bus back, the roof bridge in front of you, and you went to another place, and there was a bomb, was there not?
We've mentioned that.
Did you mention that? Sorry.
Yeah, could you describe that to me again? What happened, George? You were driving the bus load of children.
I going into Blake. And it blew up. There was a blew up a wee culvert in front of me.
Was it meant for the bus? Or
it must have been. I had a reverser back then, maybe a half a mile.
Were there children in the bus?
There was two families of children in the bus. There were six or seven children in the bus.
And did you feel responsible for carrying them and that?
I suppose you would, but you'd never come into your head and you had to do.
That you'd have to protect them or mind them?
Back then, went over across another bridge then, and do a big loop into Blake. There was another bomb under that, and it didn't go off.
They put a bomb? Explain that again.
There was a bomb on another road that I went. A two-tier that I went. There was another bomb under it, and it didn't go off.
My goodness. Was it meant for the bus? Or?
It must have, and I sure didn't put it there for nothing.
But was there children in the bus?
There was.
Aye.
There was two families of children on the bus. Must have been seven or eight children on the bus.
And when that happened, the following day when you had to do the same run, how did you... What?
No, I don't think I went back after that.
Did you not?
No. No, I didn't go back after that.
Yeah.
That was enough.
Yeah. And when you pulled out then and you resigned from doing that job.
No, I quit doing that job. I got a job then in the council with Ennis Gillen and Ennis Gillen.
What year was that?
It would be 72, wasn't it?
We left in 72.
Yeah. And what were you doing in the council?
Driving a lorry.
And were you at any stage, anything happened to you when
it happened, and I was up around all them borders and everything, and we were up around Bay Rossley, up around there. I used to drive a tanker, a tar tanker then, with the council, and used to spray roads way up around there, and never seen anybody. There's armies, checkpoints up there and everything, and... managed all right.
And so they did you continue farming now, George, as well, though?
No, we left down there altogether.
And did you sell the two farms?
Sold the two farms then, and a lucky years after, there was nobody. There was no future in going back.
But the traumatic upheaval for you and your family of having to do that.
Had to be done, Anna.
Who were the people that helped you?
Oh, there were more UDR people from Munia Direction.
And
they came with their Land Rovers and trailers, Land Rover and trailers, and we brought only There was only a room in the kitchen in the wee house we went to. And so we only brought a couple of beds and left all behind us.
And who gave you that? Who gave you the little house to?
Roger Corrigan from Churchill.
And so they lived close enough to the McClure's as well.
They did,
as you
more
were saying.
Less, aye.
Yeah.
So there were cattle sitting further on the street when we landed, and they cleaned it all up, and Billy McCullough nailed down the rats from putting their head up.
but they all rallied around the families, did they, to
did.
Help
we
you
were,
out?
No, wouldn't charge us rent nor nothing, you know. Yeah. We were in the free in the house.
Violet, did you ever get over it?
No, no. Never would you get over that.
And, you know, did they... You were there, your father was there before you. How many generations of your people farming the land there?
My father done it then. My father before that, it was him. Where did he come from? Kinloch?
Yeah.
Down in Kinloch, where it was him bought it. Then my father then farmed, and then he left it to me then.
So it was in the farm, the farm was in the family for three generations.
And then my uncle died, he left me a farm.
And what was his name?
He was Culeet. He died of cancer, a young man too.
And would you say Culeet?
Culeet, Culeet, L-E-I-T-H.
Oh, okay, yes, it's an unusual name,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. As soon as you sold those two, did you buy land here then?
We did.
Yeah.
My son is living in it now, around the, just in the one town land.
Yeah.
Just the fields is there at the end of the gable of the house there.
17 acres.
Yeah. And did you all keep, you know, kind of yourself and the Longs and the McFitties? You were out on the road together doing your work. So you stayed in touch with each other, obviously.
We did, aye. So the Longs left too, sir.
That's what I mean, the Longs,
aye.
Yeah.
Aye, Willie Long, he left too. He came up to Enniskillen, yeah. Well, then his son is still farming down there.
Yeah.
He kept the land or whatever way.
And John McClure was telling me that they gave the farmhouse to some friends of theirs from Belfast.
That'd be Danny Garrison, that'd be, what do you call him?
Oh, it was something that John told me that he was trying to get somebody in to look after the place.
Oh, I don't think it, no, that was, what do you call him? Brady's, what do you call him?
George Ellett.
It must have been George Ellett's wife.
Hmm. But that was another disaster.
They made her carry a bomb into heading for the barrack in Bleak over the bridge at Bleak.
Is that what he was talking
about? Maybe that's what he was talking about.
But explain to me how... can you explain that to me?
She was... was she working in Bleak or something? Or, but they made her carry a bomb into Bleak. I don't know how, whether she went on with it or what happened. I don't mind.
Hmm. And was she was married to?
She was married to George Elliot.
Elliot.
Aye.
And they were living in
John's house.
John's house.
Down at.
Yeah.
Aye, down at Garrison.
And George, what do you think of all, you know, of that time and those people and what happened to you and your family? What do you think about it?
What magic would you think about it?
Does it make you angry?
No. You never thought of that time, Simile. I don't know what happened. You just had to go with the flow, with the people.
Yeah. But had you any idea what maybe who have you any idea or what was going through your head about these provos or provisional IRA?
Well, should they still on the go? Much change did they? Should they made no change?
Yeah. And were you getting on okay with your Catholic neighbour friends? You know,
I wouldn't, yeah.
But I suppose there was a certain amount of mistrust built in then later.
No, I suppose you forget all about it then after that. That was it.
Yeah. They were really difficult times, weren't they?
They were wild bad times, that.
Yeah.
It was Sunday, we could be sitting in the house and they were practising across the...
I could hear them practising from my house down in the bog over down in over the Free State.
Shooting?
Yeah.
Aye, shooting in a bog.
They had a range or something, you know.
And did you had your children running around the place at the time, did you, or?
I wouldn't. They were all young that time.
The youngest, John, was only what? You were born in 66. John was 6, he was the youngest.
Yeah.
6.
Raymond was 10.
And so this was drilling, probably, practiced by them.
They were shooting, no.
Yeah. And that area of Garrison, where you were, and down, it was a hot spot, really, for... activity, IRA activity and movement of troops. Did you ever find yourself actually patrolling the border yourself?
We did.
At that point?
Oh, we did. We patrolled all down there. At that time there was about 7 or 8 of us on the UDR down that time.
And did you run into any skirmishes with them?
No. Used to stop them and... Everybody that time, you were right on patrol, that was it. No, we never found any, we never got into any hassle with anybody.
Nobody ever fired at your checkpoint?
No. Well, it was in a... we blew up one night at Cassidy's Cross, way out at... Way out at Derry Lane, away at that country one night.
Down near Halane Bridge?
Well, away that direction, out Cassidy's Cross, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what it'd be away out, would it be as far as that? They called it Cassidy's Cross, I don't know.
And what happened?
We were in the shoulder, it blew up in there, about 6 or 7 foot off the ground, and come back down and lit on his wheels.
But you weren't in it, of course.
Huh?
You weren't in it.
Who were in it?
In the truck?
Aye.
And it was blown up and down?
So it blew up, it went up in there a couple of foot, 4 or 5 foot, and came back down again on his wheels.
And anybody hurt, sir?
No, they flew on, I suppose.
My goodness.
And we were in a rocket attack another night in Belcoo Barrack.
And you saw these rockets coming in
well,
over?
Had a big net or a thing up, and it didn't hit the barrack. It burned off before it hit the barrack.
Yeah.
Well, bang up, it was serious.
Yeah. and Violet, were you worried about George coming home at night? And
why, he wouldn't listen to you.
Is that right, George? You wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, coming home from Belcoo one night, one had another road, trees put across.
Oh,
yeah,
the cut bushes one another night and it's coming home too.
So I'd sit down here between the two of you because. You say that again?
He was coming from duty by Belcoo Barracks.
Change roads coming home then, maybe, you know, at night. We'd go one way one night and then come home another road another night and they cut a row of bushes, 6 or 7 bushes. So we. And Jesus, we had to drive, turn, get back and come home another road. 6 or 7 other bushes cut.
And did you...
On the Knockmore Road.
On the Knockmore Road. And, you know, kind of, if George was running late at night then, of course, there was nothing you could do. There was no telephones in the house, was
there? We hadn't even electricity. Had we electricity?
God, I don't know. I don't think we had. So you were late, you wouldn't have...
I made that night that
the beam and shutters blew up. We that was a wee globe, and it wasn't as big as a... You could put it in your pocket.
Wait, is this the house below in Garrison that you were in?
Yeah.
No, we had no electric at that time.
Oh, we had
Well, we must have got the electric in after that.
So the nowadays, of course, we look at electricity as being, very... We couldn't do without it if we didn't have it.
No.
But what did you do without electricity? I mean, you...
We knew no
difference. Nobody had electric in us, no more else.
Was there running water in the house?
No. Was it a well?
Well, a spring well away.
And you collect the water and bring it down to the house?
About 500 or 600 yards. You carry it in a bucket.
Yeah. And that was amazing. And so, dry toilets then, of course.
There's no toilet at all.
Yeah. So were there very primitive conditions? Violet, that you imagine.
We had the electricity, I think, George.
But the so you were out. There was no way of getting in touch with you until you got back again.
No, not a hope. There was no phones. There was no phones. There, no telephone. Kiosk.
Yeah.
Not imagine. Kiosk here and there. That was it.
Yeah. And it made things more difficult. Of course, I'm just imagining the dark nights as well. That you know, and hearing the gunfire in the mountains. You know.
Mm.
But and we're only talking about the late '60s, the early '70s. So
about 72. We're talking about.
So the electric didn't come, rural electrification didn't come until that time?
No, the whole world was, it was the town had electric, but out through the country there was very little electric.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
To later years, we got the electric in then down there.
Why was it in your area so late? Is it because it was out in a very remote place?
No, there was no electric, you know.
And then if you were in those early days now before you moved, entertainment and, say, going to the local pub, where was your local pub?
Garrison, Casey's, McGovern's was the two pubs. No, there was Joe Roy's too. There's three pubs in it.
Yeah.
You used to go there. They had late, all right. They had electric, all right. But out through our part of the country, there was no.
Yeah.
To later years.
And so, again, there was everything was as normal, was it, in those days?
Normal enough. There was no. You passed no remarks, so you knew no better.
And was there a time then that you just stopped going to the local pub?
Only when you left.
Well, no, we went to the local pub till we left down there, and then come up around here to live.
Yeah. And so, can you tell me now, all your farming friends down there that were, I suppose you could use the word ethnic cleansing, you know, that you were pushed back or cleared out. Do you know the perpetrators, those who were involved in that intimidation and trying to get you to move?
No, you wouldn't.
Or would you know the man that...
No, I would not, wouldn't know what was at the back. Wouldn't know who was at the back of it. Only that had blown up the road in front of me, and them old bombs and that stuff, it was enough for me. And then they shot Johnny Fletcher beside us and went in, took him out of the house and took his gun and with him and shot him. Just stepped over the border then, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Bye bye. No, for God.
But that was a threat. That was telling you that you were next. Did you ever get a threatening letter saying that, you know, you've got to go? Or
no, I did not. Tell the truth, no, I did not. But it'd be in the back of your head, wouldn't it?
It would. Hmm? But did that make it more difficult then that the perpetrator was invisible? You mm-hmm. no idea who he was?
No idea who he was. No idea at all.
And he could be passing you in the street?
He could have been talking to him every day. Yeah. As far as that goes.
Yeah. And then did you paint everybody with the same...
No.
You know, did you mistrust all then?
No. I wouldn't say he was down from our country either. Anybody come from other part of the world that done it.
Because they were coming up, weren't they?
Oh, they were coming across.
But did it take a local person to maybe set the trap, or, you know, local knowledge?
I suppose there was local knowledge. Why wouldn't there? There'd be local knowledge, surely.
Mm. Well, Violet, I hope we never go back to those times again. You know, it would prove to be a very... disaster.
It wouldn't be a safe place right enough.
Yeah.
Put your mind of what you'd hear on the television about them foreign countries.
Yeah. But it almost became the norm, didn't it? Every day that, you know, there was something going on.
There was. Oh, there was that time, surely there was.
How long did you stay in the UDR, George?
Stayed off then. I took asthma then, and or COPD. And used to drive an old tanker for the council then, spraying, and the old fumes used to... I blame the fumes for doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And I had to quit all then.
And did you continue doing a small bit of farming here?
Aye, we did. Aye, farming. Aye, my son is farming. I quit.
We've only 17 acres here.
What?
We've only 17 acres. It's not very big.
Hmm.
100 acres there in Kiarison and 17 here.
There's
a big difference.
There is a bit of a difference. But it's more hobby farming now.
It's only what's wild farming, which keeps you happy. Keeps them happy.
Yeah. Well, it's an incredible... You know, when you put all the stories together, it's incredible. But I'm delighted that that you spoke to me, because, you know, it was important to hear your side of the story.
Well, so that was it, I know.
Mm.